Speaking of looking forward to seeing you there, we've got Susan Brown at the Chapel Hill Public Library here for Talking Books. How are you?
I've been looking forward to seeing you too,
right?
Aaron.
It's been a while.
It has been.
Yeah.
I was not here last week.
Yeah, we did have some really good guests last week, and we still have to get the audio from this up on the website, but some really great conversations with Ginger Young of Book Harvest and a couple of librarians.
Gabe and Janet. Diverse kids books, right?
Diverse kids books, yeah. Really, really good conversation.
That's
which you now
awesome.
Have to top because
we
got
to
get better every single week.
And I'll just say, is there a cough button here? I've got this lingering cough.
Oh, no. You're
no
coughing
cough
straight into the microphone
straight,
now.
Okay.
I sneezed
Blake
on the air last
water.
Week. Yes. Thank you, Blake. I did. Yeah, I did. Scott Maitland was in to talk about something, and his jacket was just so cool. I just, my nose couldn't
handle it. It made you sneeze.
I don't think it was, I don't think it was the jacket, but I literally, like, Scott walks in, I'm like, oh, that's a really nice jacket, and then immediately had to sneeze. So I think it's praise for other people that I'm allergic to.
There you go.
That must be it. So, how's it going? Banned Books Week is this week.
Our favorite week of the whole year when we celebrate banning books.
No, we celebrate.
That's wrong.
We celebrate the freedom to read.
That's
and
right.
We go after the books that have been banned.
We do. So, yes. It is Banned Books Week all over the country and the world, and at Chapel Hill Public Library, where we celebrate it in lots of fun and different ways.
Nice.
Mostly by what you're holding in your hand.
These awesome trading cards.
Our Banned Books trading cards.
Nice.
So, I thought we would just talk a little bit about Banned Books Week, Banned Books trading cards, and some of the things we've got going on. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
So, Banned Books trading cards.
Mm-hmm.
As I tell people, this may be the one original idea I've ever had come out of my little pea brain.
Uh-huh.
This is a project that I started when I lived in Lawrence, Kansas. Did it for a year, though, there, and then it came with me to Chapel Hill, and I'm so excited because I have amazing staff who every year take this project on, knowing that it's my baby.
Yes.
And I say to them things like, you know what, you guys go and make it your own, just don't change a thing. It's near and dear to my heart,
yes.
So I have wonderful staff that put up with me and make it better every single year. And this is the fifth year that we've done this.
That's really cool.
Which is super cool. So we've been trying some new and different ways to celebrate that five-year mark. But here's how the project works. So first of all, Banned Books Week. It always happens the last week of September. And it is sponsored and coordinated by libraries, bookstores, publishers all across the country and the world.
Yep.
And the idea is to celebrate the freedom to read.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always tricky because we say celebrate Banned Books Week, and then it's like, wait a minute, isn't banning books bad? There are those out there that say we should call it Freedom to Read Week, but whatever's.
Yeah.
It's Banned Books
it's
Week.
It's Banned Books Week.
That's a
yes.
little bit more, you know, there's a little bit more hyperbole.
Yeah.
It's kind of sexier, right?
Yes, yes. All for the reason of promoting books like that are often challenged, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
you
there
got
you go.
It. So bookstores and everybody all over the country celebrate it in any number of ways. There's always programs and displays and read-ins and panels. And we celebrate it by joining up the idea of the freedom to read with artistic freedom as well. So
yes.
What we do is we ask local artists to submit works of art that are somehow inspired by a book or author that has been banned, challenged, or censored.
Mm-hmm.
And so books are truly, it's rare that a book is truly banned. They're often challenged
yes.
From school curriculums and libraries and removed from those.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, sometimes they are truly censored, whereas words are taken out or a cleaned up version,
right.
air quotes on the clean, are produced. So we ask artists to produce these works of art and then they submit them. This year we got 101 entries.
Nice.
We display all of those entries during Banned Books Week and for really the whole month of October. But we also choose 7 every year and print them as trading cards. And the idea is that there are 7 days in Banned Books Week, so we choose 7 cards.
Seven cards, yep.
In the past, the first couple of years we did it, the idea was you had to come into the library every day to get that day's card. And it was also a hook of making people come into
the
library.
Come to the library every day, yeah.
We have plenty of people that come to the library every day.
This is no longer a problem for Chapel Hill, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So what we do now is we just give out whole packs of cards all week long and for a couple weeks afterwards. So what you have in your hand, and anyone that visits the Chapel Hill Public Library this week and in the coming weeks can pick up a set of the 2017 trading cards.
And I love the art that people are able to come up with. It's so inventive, and you're taking the it's taking the novel and the subject matter and the text of it. And these artists taking it in a thousand different directions.
We have amazing artists in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And the call goes out. It's really a five-county call. So it's most of the calls for artists go out sort of to a region. But almost all of them are Chapel Hill artists. So I thought I would quickly go through them.
Yeah, go for it.
So the first Sunday's card, the first card is inspired by Where the Wild Things Are.
Yes.
A really cool thing about this card, and also if you're listening at home and you can't see these cards, which you can't, most likely.
Yes.
You can if you go on our website. We have all of them loaded up. Or if you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, we are posting them there.
Or if you already have the cards from the library, just take them out and follow along
right.
as we read out loud.
That's right. So Where the Wild Things Are, a couple things about this card. It's a blind jury competition when we choose the seven. So everybody's eligible to win. And then after that, we choose a youth winner. This card and this medium is called Quilling. This was done by a 16-year-old girl named Lizzie Kuhlman. And if you see the original, it's amazing. So those curlicues are little pieces of paper, individual pieces of paper are curled up. And I'm not sure if they're glued together or placed together. And then when we were doing the judging, and the jury this year was myself, someone from the Arts Commission, Rachel Shavitz, who was the Arts Commission representative, Mayor Heminger, and Daniel Wallace.
Okay.
So it was a super fun panel.
Yeah.
But they were all talking about the eyes, and I was like, I don't know what eyes.
Oh,
I was like,
that was one of the first
eyes.
Things I noticed. Yeah.
And then once you see them, you can't not see them.
Yep.
So Where the Wild Things Are has been banned. So on the back of the cards, we try and riff on trading cards. So there's stats and facts about them.
Yep.
It's been banned and challenged because it promotes rebellious behavior by children.
God forbid.
Back talking your mama.
Yep.
That's what it'll get you.
And witchcraft as well.
And witchcraft,
which is
right?
Like, who challenges Where the Wild Things Are?
Oh, it's happened.
It's happened, yeah.
The next day's card is a beautiful rendering of, it's a portrait of a character from Beloved by Toni Morrison. Mm-hmm. So this one, it just really stands out. It's a gorgeous, I think it's pencil on paper. I'm not sure. But it's really striking and very haunting. Beloved has been challenged because of the violence in it. And actually, this one is interesting because in 2016 in Virginia, a parent challenged this book, and the General Assembly came very close to passing what was known as the Beloved Bill, in which would have been a state mandate that schools had to find parents in advance of any explicit materials in a book. Yeah. Imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
So luckily, I think they passed it, but the governor vetoed it.
They passed it, the governor vetoed it. Well, we had a very similar issue here in Eflin when Omar Curry...
That's right.
Assigned King and King to his
King.
Class, and that was the
outcome.
He
just read a book out loud, right.
He didn't even assign it, just read a book out loud. He ended up having to leave the school, and that ended up being effectively the outcome. Well, from now on, whenever there's a controversial book, we're going to let parents know about it in advance and give them the option of pulling their kids from the controversial material.
So these cards also serve as a way to engage folks on this topic and invite them to learn more. So the next one is 1984 by George Orwell.
I love
which
the fact that there were 101 entries, so you could put them all in room 101.
There you go.
There you go, yeah.
It's a great, great card. The next one, though, is probably my favorite. I mean, they're all my favorites. But the next one, which is today's card, Wednesday's card, is my favorite of this crop because I love rabbits. It's so charming. And I had never heard of this book.
Yes.
So this card is inspired by The Rabbit's Wedding by Garth Williams, who was an illustrator that did many of Margaret Wise Brown's books.
Okay.
So I knew him through that. But so the story of the rabbit's wedding is a rabbit with white fur marries a rabbit with black fur.
Okay.
That's what happens in the books, in the book, and that's what is depicted in this card. And in 1958, it was challenged by a group called what? The White Citizens Council in Alabama.
Ugh.
And it was banned statewide for promoting interracial marriage.
Yep.
So I had never heard of the book, and I'd certainly never heard of this case of its being banned. And I just love the artwork of the card.
Was this a kid's book? This is.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a kid's picture book.
Mm.
The next card is also a youth book. It's called One Crazy Summer by Rita Williams Garcia. This one hits close to home. First of all, it's a fabulous book.
Yeah.
It's if you like, if you've ever read the Watsons Go to Birmingham or any of Jacqueline Woodson's books, you would love this book. The author is Rita Williams Garcia. It was a Newbery Honor book, and it's set in 1968, and it's three sisters who moved to California for a summer to live with their mother, and their mother left and went to California to sort of live this somewhat radical life. And
right.
When the girls are there, they think they're going for Disneyland and Tinkerbell, but they're introduced to the Black Panthers and all the protests that are going on. It's a wonderful book. This book was challenged in 2015 in where? Cary, North Carolina.
Cary.
Just down the road.
Well done, Cary.
That's right. So this is a National Book Award finalist. It's a Newbery Honor book. It's such a great book. And this Civitas Institute said that the book's subjects of racism and ethnic class struggle were inappropriate subject matter for kids.
Yes.
So there
Heaven
you have
forbid
it.
Heaven forbid we talk about racism
right.
in America.
With
yeah,
kids.
So actually, in fact, well done, Cary, for real, because it was the fourth grade book club in Cary that selected this book.
Right.
And then it was the Civitas Institute that came in from outside and said, yeah, no, we don't want you talking about racism.
Right. Good
yeah.
for the fourth grade teacher
yes.
that did that. The next one is In Cold Blood by Truman Capote, which
this
is also
might be
a great
one
book.
Of my favorite artworks.
Isn't it cool?
Oh.
It is so cool.
It looks like
I love
it's a picture of Truman Capote made up entirely of words, quotes from the novel, quotes
little
from the book,
tiny
I assume.
Writings from the
it
book.
It looks
make
like
up
Truman
the lines.
Capote.
It
though.
Does.
How do you do that?
So this artist is fabulous. We
yeah.
had the exhibit launch and Meet the Artist party Friday night, and I was talking to her, and I was like, how did you come up with the concept? And she's like, well, you know, I do this kind of, and there's some word for it. It's like pointillism, but with words,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she said she does it with like bands and like record covers or something. I was like, well, that sounds even like that
yes.
sounds just as cool. And she thought of an iconic author image. And I think that it's very recognizable as Truman Capote.
Yes.
But it's done with little tiny words.
It's really cool.
It's a great, great piece. And she was fabulous.
She got the furrows on
the
his brow.
That
yeah.
like wrinkle up there, right?
Yeah.
So that's
much
a wonderful
to Capote's
piece.
Chagrin, I'm sure, but,
right.
but it's well done. Oh,
and that one's been banned. It was challenged in California. It's been challenged a couple times as being too violent for school curriculum.
Can
for
we
high
go
school
back
students.
A second to 1984? Who bans
yes.
1984?
Oh, it happens all the time.
I know it happens all the time, but can you like put yourself in the shoes of someone who is raising an objection and trying to ban or challenge or prevent someone from reading 1984? Like, do you, what goes through your head? Like, what's the thought process? Like, I want to challenge this book about challenging books.
Right?
Right?
It's the fifth most banned book of all time.
Yeah.
Due to its themes of civil disobedience.
I'm sure Fahrenheit 451 is probably up there
oh,
too,
yes.
right? Yeah.
Right. Here's what I love. During the Cold War, you could be put in jail for reading it in Russia. At
yes.
the exact same time, a teacher got fired for reading it with their classroom
in
here in the U.S.
Yep.
That's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
One of my favorite Allen Ginsberg poems is one called Bird Brain, which is like very unknown, but it's all about the Cold War. And the first line is Bird Brain runs the world. And it's the whole thing is just, oh God, you got the Soviet Union over here. You got the U.S. over here. Both sides are completely nuts in the midst of this Cold War. And it's just all details on that. And this is exactly that. It's the... it's the extent to which like both sides just went nuts during that period of time.
And it also makes me think about a couple of years ago. It was 3 or 4 years ago, and we actually had a card that was based on, or that was inspired by Invisible Man. The like week before Banned Books Week, the Randolph County School Board in North Carolina voted to remove a book from its curriculum. I'm like, do you guys know what next week is?
Uh-huh.
Just wait a couple weeks, guys.
Yeah,
the optics here. And of course, I sent them a whole bunch of those trading cards down to Randolph County.
Good.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Was that the one where someone organized and sent a whole bunch of copies of Invisible Man to the library?
Oh,
or something like that? Yeah.
I mean, the best way to get teenagers to read a book is to tell them not
it.
To read a book.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last card, this one will be revealed. So we give them all away, but in the lobby of the library, we have these large-scale posters of them up, and then we cover them up and say, like, banned till Friday, banned till Saturday.
Nice. Yeah.
So Saturday's card is The Scarlet Letter by Hawthorne. The artist is Heather Jolly Smith, and it's just a beautiful, intricate woodcut rendering. It's got, you know, all the pieces of it, Hester and her child, the clandestine scene in the woods. It's got everything, the preacher's hat, all of it. It's a beautiful card. She's a very talented artist. She had a card chosen last year as well. And I love the quote on the back. So the reason for banning, the Russian Tsar cited moral grounds for banning the book in 1850. And as recently as 1977, a school principal in Michigan removed the book from a required reading list because he felt that the clergyman's, quote, involvement in fornication was inappropriate. Which
and in fairness, it was inappropriate,
exactly.
Was it not?
That's like the whole point.
That's the whole point,
right?
Of the book, yes.
Right?
Shouldn't do that, Arthur. Come on.
So there was a great audio trip down looking at some art.
No doubt.
Looking at art on the radio with Susan and Aaron.
What were some of the other books that that people did art on
this
year?
Oh my gosh, so many. There's always some Harry Potters in there. There's always several Harry Potters. There was a beautiful one about Don Quixote. There were lots of other great youth and kind of YA books. There's a beautiful one that's inspired by Dracula that I personally love because that's one of my favorite books.
Yeah.
But the entire exhibit is up this year. And this year, to celebrate 5 years, our friends purchased for us these beautiful freestanding panels. So rather than hang it in the lobby, we've got it more in the interior on these panels that were meant to hang art on. So they look great. There's 101 entries up there. People are stopping and looking at it. And what I love about it is people see these things and say, oh, that's beautiful art. What's it for? I'm outraged now because people have tried to ban these books.
Yes.
And then I want to go learn more. And I'm like, it's working.
That
that's the whole
exactly
point of the project. I do want to mention a couple other things that we are celebrating, or how we are celebrating banned books. Last night, if you love the Harry Potter, maybe it was 2 nights ago. I think it was Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry Potter is one of the books that is often banned and challenged.
Yes.
Our staff put together
a Harry
Potter.
And of course, you know why, because of that one scene where...
Yeah, sure. Because I've read them all so many times. I think it was Monday night. We had Harry Potter trivia.
Ooh.
And apparently it was amazing.
I have no doubt.
We had a kids division at like 4 o'clock and then kids and adults division later in the evening.
Where the scores were lower.
No, I mean, they were hardcore. They were questions.
Definitely. Yeah.
There were like 75 people at these things battling.
Nice.
We had tables. They all had team names that I didn't understand. So that's passed. We'll probably do that again based on the feedback. But a couple other things. One is tomorrow night from 7 till 8, we are having a discussion about censorship in American literature.
Okay.
And this is in conjunction with the North Carolina Humanities Council. And there's in this presentation, the speaker is Mary Rose Carroll. She will provide an overview of censorship in American literature. And here's the interesting thing. Carroll's late husband, Paul, with the help of the ACLU, successfully overcame attempts to censor his small magazine called Big Table in the late 50s. So she was intimately involved with censorship in the U.S. So she's going to give a sort of a big picture look at censorship in American life and letters. And then the other one that I want to talk about, I'm super excited about, is this Saturday. we're having an author come. He actually lives in the western part of the state. It's at 4 o'clock. His name is Alan Gratz, and he writes middle grade fiction. He writes these wonderful sort of historical fiction set in like World War II, or he wrote one called Samurai Shortstop, I think, which was about a Japanese baseball player.
Nice.
But his new book is called Ban This Book. And so it's a perfect way to end Banned Books Week. And what it's about is, I believe the heroine is a fourth grade girl who she goes into the library at her school and she can't find her favorite book, which is The Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil.
Oh, you
Frank
were telling
Bauer,
me about this
right?
book. Yes, yes.
And it turns out
because
somebody has objected
challenged.
To it
yep.
and they've challenged it and they have removed it. So what does she do? She starts a clandestine private banned books library in her locker.
Awesome.
And so the whole book is about her struggle and her fight. It's absolutely charming. He's a great author. Kids of all ages will enjoy that. That is Saturday at 4 o'clock. Alan Gratz. I believe Flyleaf will be selling books for us there.
Awesome.
And he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Happy Banned Books Week.